Breaking news, another episode of Relative Pitch.
I was really scared how we were going to start off this time. I was scared what I was going to say, let alone what you were going to say.
Yeah. Sports ball in the straight man athletics or straight man Olympics.
As you're wearing red coat gear.
Go Dawgs? Can I not? First of all, why does this have to be? I mean, it could just be Georgia, you know? Mm. Go Dawgs. I can't rep my alma mater.
That's true.
I'm sorry. Nike sponsored. Nike sponsored. But, you know, I'm always here for a good time, not a long time. And I would love to take this episode to have people be put in a place to take time and relax. There's a lot of things going on in the world right now that it just kind of seems that every day you wake up, there's just something bearing, some news article, something maybe in your job, in your life that is pressing on you. I want you to release all of that. And let live. Mm. Because whatever is pressing you, let that just take a moment from it. Because it's really putting you in a stressful place. It's really leading you to burnout. It's really leading you to a place that is toxic. And I think you need to take some time away from it. And that could be your job. And a mental health day is always good. I know we're in the seasons for music educators, the MEAs, you know, the state conferences. Go to those, you know, go get your juju back. See why you fell in love with doing this. And especially a lot of music educators, they're in this season of state contests or state assessment that's happening. So a lot of people are stressed over that. A lot of college students right now are you know, even though it's just became February, but oh my gosh, we're almost to the middle of February. Time is just moving, but it's getting a more hectic time for you as well. It is time to take a piece for yourself. It's very important. Right now, I've been sitting on my couch doing nothing. I just got done having my pre-UIL concert, and, you know, got the students ready, and we did it on a Thursday. And then Friday, I just felt, you know, like when you're getting ready, like you're working out, and then you take a day off, and you just feel very lethargic. That's how I felt that next day. And it's like, wow, I was putting a lot of angst into this, and now it happened. Now what? I mean, of course, we still have real UIL to go to, but there was a lot of pressure built into that. So I just took this weekend to take me, be me. I'm watching this new show. If you have not watched The Night Agent, that's on Netflix, get into it. It's really nice, even though some of the characters are pissing me off. However, I'm still into it, but I still had to take the time for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Also, if you don't want to go to your state conference, don't go. You want the weekend to yourself, baby, still call off.
And just call right.
Nope. Now, you know, in today's world, that is not looked at to do, especially if you're in a district where there are higher ups, you know, director of fine arts, these people, like, you have to go. And it is looked at as one of those qualifying factors for arts because principals look at, well, math, science, social studies, English, they have the state test. What is your version? And if, unfortunately, if the bands, the choirs, the orchestras don't have a certain bar, then they can say, well, you're not worthy of funding. So it's a two-hole thing.
And don't go to the conference. Go to UIL.
Okay. Got it.
Like if you don't want to go to your state conference because you don't want to hear people be talking, take the days off and still go. And still don't go. Like,
It's yeah.
because might as well.
But don't get caught though. Okay? Because you could take them days off to say I'm going to a conference, and then you end up posting a picture that you camping and your principal find out.
Well, baby, I'm gonna have my receipts from the year before, like 3 years before, a different outfit. Change the date.
Oh, and especially if you got a director of a fine arts over your county or your district,
Woo!
came live with that one.
Mm-mm.
You came live, baby. Be careful
No.
with your lies.
That's true. That is true. But I don't know, going back to the, there is a lot going on in the world, in the news, and just with everything in general right now. It is important to take time for yourself. And like for students, sometimes students, it's just shit right now, right? You just gotta push. There's just a lot going on. It feels like you can't catch a break. You wish you could have a day on the couch. But and maybe some of you are doing that and you're just like, screw it, we'll see what happens. That's a choice, right? Michael's like, he identifies with that. If you're like me and like you're just like, you gotta keep chugging. I think what has helped me the most is recognizing, first of all, other people's emergencies are not my own. So sometimes we get texts and emails and things, and it's like urgent, need this, need this, need this. Wait a minute. Whoa. Right. Michael doesn't read. It's okay. We know that. He's not going to read it regardless. But you can read it, but your intake, how you're intaking things is on you, right? So even knowing, like, okay, I have these things to do. I will get them done. It's not the end of the world. Unless you are saving lives, you're not saving lives. Like your music theory homework, no one's going to die if you do or do not do them, right? Or it, the homework, whatever. So I think so, it just, whenever it does feel like there's so many things that you have to do and it feels like it's coming, oh, after, you just have to take a moment to like prioritize, first of all, and like take a moment just to say, okay, I can get this done by doing this. I can set myself up the best here. And also have moments of the couch. It doesn't mean like you can, just because you have a lot of shit to do, you can set a timer for 20 minutes, watch a fun show, sit on the couch, have a snack, and then get back to it later on. That's what's helped me the most. As a teacher, yeah, take time off. If you want to go to your MEA, I guess, go do it and everything. Conferences. Conferences are good. They're professional development. But like you have to be at the right, like heads in the right headspace and feeling the best, open to new ideas, open to seeing people. That is what conferences are. So if you're just going there and you're already burned out, you're not able to like receive what you want to receive. You're not able to maybe give the way you want to. And yeah, it's just a lot going on right now. And like to intake, mind your intake of what's going on online, social media, all that stuff. There's a lot of craziness happening. Even the good stuff, even there's like positivity and all these other things going on. Mind just how much you are intaking and how much time you're taking, like just away from everything and just being with yourself, being with the people in front of you, being with the friends around you. Because there's a lot of shit going on. A lot of crazy stuff going on every single day.
Yeah, definitely. Make sure that you are putting yourself first and putting your mental health and your well-being first. Because the thing is, if you don't put yourself first, then nobody will put you first at all. They will work you until you are done. D-O-N-E. Okay. So you really got to take control over that and understand where's your boundaries, how far can you go before it's over. I know, especially in the times that we are living in right now, where I feel like every, day is a new article about something being taken away. People are asked to leave their jobs. People are disbanding organizations that's been here for 40 something years and protecting this and that. It gets overwhelming. It gets overstimulating. You have to, for me, I have to turn my phone off. I do. I do. Because I will get drawn up in all the craziness. And I still have to live my life. And I think that is very important for you to take into consideration. Live your life. You don't know how many days are numbered for you, so you need to use every single one to the fullest.
Yes. Yeah.
My heart goes out to everybody. I look, I had to, that was on my heart to just start the episode that way, because I can feel the energy of people
Right.
that we're all in this collective. And last week we talked about finding community, about, leaning on each other and leaning on those people who sees things in your way and your vision. But it's okay to say, hey, I just need to talk real quick. And also be okay with, okay, I know you want to talk right now, but I'm not right now in a place to listen, or I'm not in the right place to hear what's going on because I have my own thing going on right now. But I promise in the future, we will see each other eye to eye. And that's okay. That's okay. Not everyone has to be ready to deal with other people's trauma.
Correct.
Let's be honest here.
Yeah. It's really hard, I think, sometimes to find the balance of how much you feel responsible for to be doing and like taking responsibility for yourself personally. And some of us, we're all in different places of how much we're able to intake and how much we're able to output and in what ways we can do those. And all I think I can offer to anyone is know thyself. You're going to see people who are going to protests, marches, all those things, doing petitions, all great, wonderful. That's if they're directing their energy into like that type of work. That's on them. They've decided that that is what they want to do. You see other people who are donating or they're just like trying to share articles online for people to like spread awareness, all the things. Great, that's nice. You see someone who is just like, oh, I went out this weekend with my friends and I just want to show that I went out this weekend with my friends. Beautiful. Like, if there's just, you know what I mean? Like, some people are just like, I'm trying to survive. I'm in school. It's a really like rough quarter right now, and I don't know what to do. I need to take mental space for myself, blah, blah, blah. Just don't compare yourself to what other people are doing. It is okay in your inner circles to like maybe talk to your friends and go, I really feel like I want to do something, but I'm not sure how. That's, you have community. Talk to your community, bounce ideas off of each other, maybe do something collectively if you want to, if you feel moved to, but do not get wrapped up in what you should or should not be doing and all this stuff. You know what you have the energy for. You know what you're capable of. You can tell people whatever you want, but you know what you're capable of in any given, and that may change today versus tomorrow versus next week versus next year. We are constantly evolving and changing as human beings. Stop looking at yourself as a stagnant thing, a stagnant being. You're constantly like shifting, shifting, shifting. So I think that's the biggest piece of advice that maybe even mentally myself, with all the stuff, all the news and breaking and executive orders and all this stuff coming from the, you know, federal government, it's always like, well, what can I be doing in this moment? And maybe that is the question some of us should be asking ourselves, but also maybe that's not helpful. So anytime there's a breaking news, first of all, if you ask yourself what you should be doing every single breaking news, it'll be every hour in the hour this past month. That's a lot. That's a lot to take on. And you, me, I feel like I've been overwhelming my bodily senses, my nerve system by being like, you should be doing more. What should you be doing? Can I do anything? Maybe those aren't the questions. Maybe stop with the questions for a second. Like, calm down, calm down. There is work, there is power in the collective, there is power in what we do together 1000%. But if you yourself personally are burned out and can't do anything, you cannot give to that collective. You cannot give to that. So maybe take a step back, figure out what you are capable of, and don't let every single article, newsflash shock your nervous system. That's kind of what they want, actually. And don't let it do it. Chill, 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 chill.
Also, since we're on the trend of just making sure we're all better, You need to find out what things you need to do to make sure your week is going to go well. Like, I have noticed if my place is a wreck, it's over. I'm not getting no work done, and it just ain't happening. So, like, I could have been practicing this weekend, but instead I did all my laundry, I did all my cooking, I did cleaning, and I'm like, you know what? But when Monday hits and I get home, there's none of that to do. I can sit on my couch, watch a TV show, play my little trumpeta, hang out with the Boo Bear. And life is so much better.
About being wherever you can be most productive. How can you be productive in creating an environment where you feel successful and set yourself up for success? I can tell you from personal experience, Michael is a hoarder and he's a nester. He's a nester. And because we live together.
Right now,
What?
I have three trumpets on my table right now, sitting in front of me.
Yeah. Michael, he would put mess here. By Wednesday, the mess have doubled and now it's been moved here. And I'm like, Michael, I can't work in this environment.
Okay, and two, no, okay, so. When Anthony's leaving out that I would nest like hell whenever he would leave the apartment, but then I would panic clean the night before he got there or the hours. Because I would have my trumpet stuff all laid out on the big couch. I'd have my napping stuff on the small couch. I have my laptop and things on the table. I'll have like food and stuff on the couch. I sprawled.
He does. And then he will panic clean and everything. And but that's his process, and we let people do their own processes.
Right.
But it's a time that it takes time to figure out what your ability is to do and what your process is. And I hope that you will find out what that may be for you. Because what it'll do is leave from home and then to come into your work life. And now, you're collaborating with people. And how are you collaborating with them? How are you moving and doing things with other people? So I think it's very important. So for everybody, how do we feel about it's kind of been quiet lately for all the kind of big things in music, except for we have to talk about the Kennedy Center.
We must talk about the Kennedy Center, absolutely. Whatever.
Yeah, like the Kennedy Center situation. What the hell?
I know it's crazy because I know a big organization was literally about to sign a contract with the Kennedy Center and it got ripped away.
So for anyone who doesn't, who haven't, hasn't read it up of what's going on, current president, has m said, I don't, nothing officially has happened yet besides terminations of certain board positions. Now let's talk nonprofit for a second. Normal nonprofits in America, how it works is there's a board of directors, and the board is in charge of hiring and firing the executive director or CEO, whoever that person is. The CEO then is in charge of all everyone under him who is actual staff. The board members are not paid. They are volunteers who actually are the ones who fund majority of the private donations that happen for organizations. So they are there to uphold the mission of the organization and to be representatives of various parts of the community of that organization, where it is, and everything. The difference between all other nonprofits in the US and the Kennedy Center is the Kennedy Center is a line, budget line under the federal government. So certain positions in the board, including the, or certain chairs, are appointed by the president themselves. So for for the Kennedy Center, their board, the president is allowed to pick and choose who they want on that board, but the board itself still selects its own chair. The chairman of the board is the person who is governing the board, who is always very close with the executive director, president of whoever. Currently, the Kennedy Center has a president, Deborah Rutter. And so, what the current president mentioned he was going to do was put himself as chair of the Kennedy Center. Here are the issues with that. First of all, you don't do that. That has never, there's never been any reason for a president to appoint himself. It's not, that's not how it's done. The board, its governing bodies that it has, the laws, the bylaws state, the board collectively selects who the chair is. So even if there was an executive order that were to that he were to place himself in that position, there's no saying that the next board would just vote himself out. Now, what he is trying to do is send terminations to certain board members, including the current chair, so that they leave, and so that he puts his own groupies into the Kennedy Center board so that they put place him as chair. Now, why would someone who is doing so much to uproot everything that is the Constitution of America care about the Kennedy Center? I really want you to think about that. And that is my question to y'all. I know, like, in some, we've talked a little bit about it off air, but like, really, when it first happened, what was your reaction to it?
Go ahead.
You got it, you got it.
Well, that was my first question of why do you care? What is this doing for you, and how is this important? And don't you got other things to be worrying about than the Kennedy Center? Like, have you even been to the Kennedy Center? What's the ulterior motives? What's behind the scenes? What's behind the story that is not being told all the way? When I first saw it, because I talked to Michael earlier, I was like, I thought it was a joke. I thought it was not real. Because why do you want this? Don't you have a whole country? You're already doing damaging things. Why does this little thing is important to you?
My initial, this is going to sound bad. My initial thought was like, yes, we're about to get the next Shostakovich. You know, when political regime come down, a great composer always rises up.
To be fair, this is very, this goes back to season one, throwback season one A, because we, what?
The reading part or the talking part?
The reading part. This will actually kind of goes back into the class that Anthony and I took, that we learned about Shostakovich and Stalin, and also how Hitler used Wagner, even though Hitler and Wagner were not alive during the same time period, obviously. But yes, what Michael was saying is very, very much what I have been feeling like is whenever in the past, very smart, very clever, and very understanding of what how culture affects people and their brains and everything, these dictators have gone for the arts. They want to have this idea of like, this is what I want people to listen to. This is what I want them to be in their heads. And they know that it is a major part of getting people to do what you want to do, but also shaping ideals, shaping morals, shaping beliefs. So why would the President of the United States want to place himself as the chair of the nationally funded Kennedy Center that is a beacon of hope, idealism for the arts all over the country? Is this idea that he knows the impact the Kennedy Center has? He knows that all of us are looking at it. They have this amazing team, the social impact team, that is so responsible for all the amazing, what they're gonna call DEI. Wait for it, it's gonna happen. That specific group, that team, is the first that's gonna be cut because they're the most tied to equity and accessibility and things that organizations like even the one I'm in, Seattle, we're looking at them as, wow. this is what we want to be going towards. This is the type of accessibility, the type of openness that we want to provide in our local spaces. Kennedy Center has the resources and the abilities to be that beacon of hope to art centers all over America. Putting himself there is going to disrupt all of that. It's going to completely shift what the value of the arts is away from that, back to traditionalism, back to the Mozart, back to the Haydns, back to all the things that are like, great, this is great. This is what America, this is what an American orchestra should be. I was pissed when I heard this, because I knew I was shocked. I thought the arts had just a little bit more time. I knew the NEA, where there was going to be funding cuts. There was going to have to be more local drum up for the arts in general. We saw this with his first term. This, I haven't seen this before. I am scared, to be honest, about what is going to, the trickle down effect that it's going to have over time when the art, when we have already talked about BLM within the arts has already shifted back so much. People are now wanting to go away from DEI. They don't want to hire conductors of color or women. They don't care about it anymore. Now they're going to have a reason to not do it. So the amount of stepping back that could possibly happen if his threats, that it's currently threats, if they actually happen, that is what I'm most afraid of seeing other groups who feel like they are in the right for not doing the things that push us forward. That's what I'm more nervous about.
Absolutely. That's the scary part about intervening within the arts and what precedent is that setting for everything else? Because did I ever think that this presidency would want, like, physically affect what we do? No. Because even when you look in history, for a lot of history, things happen to the arts indirectly. Yeah. Like, it's something that happens, the arts respond. This is something that directly is tied to the arts. That is something that is terrifying because, like I said earlier, it sets a precedent. Now what? What's coming next? What are we going to? Are we about to be censored of the music that is being produced? As in other countries and history books will show you, when music was censored, I mean, maybe to Michael's point, it might create some of the best art through that censorship. But I don't want to be censored. I don't want to go through that for the art to be made, you know? I don't want to live what Shostakovich was going through with Stalin in the mid-20th century. I don't want to go through, you know, what everything of the history. I'm tired of living through history books. I'm tired.
Dang. And that's the sad part of life right now. Now, I will say, just like Star Wars, you know, they can take down the main if they want to try, but those people and everything will rise up in another location. And there will be a creation of another beacon. If that were to happen, like if, as Lauren maybe said, the social impact team were to be dismissed, they will rise up somewhere else. And they will be even bigger and badder there. And so it's just like, there's like a sense of calm. Like, I remember being on the phone with Lauren because I just got done practicing. And Lauren's like, holy, Lauren, words. And I was like, you know, the bad thing is it didn't shock me. I was like, what? 2025, here we go. Like, it started last month, and here we not even, we barely a whole month in after the inauguration, and here we go. Mm-hmm. But I do truly, because I love Star Wars, and I do believe in certain things, I truly do believe that everything will be okay because of how, especially in the arts, how if you make it, you have a thick skin and you have persevered through a lot. So one person is not going to stop you because we have the community that's going to be like, okay, come on, everybody, grab your bootstraps, pick up your heavy pants. We move into the next location. We about to make ourselves heard.
You know, I don't I don't know where the next place will be because this man, he's so used to saying, oh, that sucks, or that's terrible, and people flocking and doing it. And people that are not even in this community are now, their focus is on it. So then it becomes this nasty, vile type of interactions. People that have nothing to do with what we do now have some type of opinion, and they're going to make sure it is known. That is how I cannot see anybody who really stands with the person, because he knows that he can get his followers to be his soldiers.
That's all they are.
So that to me is the scary part, the threats and what that will allow. Because even when you look at Germany, 1920s, 30s, with how music was politicized, and if it didn't align with the regime, how it was put out, how it was deemed, this is a terroristic threat by music, by art. That, I mean, a lot of people are already making these, what is it? What's those graphs we used to learn about in elementary school? The comparison graph, the comparison maps. Yes, the Venn diagram. Already making those about the regime of the 30s in Germany with what's going on now. It ain't looking good. It ain't looking good. And even on my Facebook, I'm seeing people, the nasty, rude comments are now being spoken out loud to people. Those comments that for a while now, thankfully, has been shunned to speak about, but people are now saying it out loud.
Oh, I saw the most wild. Sorry, I gotta go find my screenshot. I saw the most wild thing, and I was like,
Is it
oh,
from friend of the show?
oh no, or something.
A friend of the show, a former guest. He has had a run-in with some American people that follow this regime that is going on.
Oh, are you talking about
bleep?
Girl, y'all know y'all gotta bleep me. Y'all know I'll just be running my mouth. Someone's this is now okay now to say, miss me with the awoke ideology and fuck your pronouns. I was like, oh. Like, live, someone asked me the other day, why do you say heard? I said, because I want you to know I received it, but I'm heard. I was like, when I read that, I was like, oh my God.
Let me just read you this. This is from friend of the show. And I think he would be fine with us speaking this on here, but shout out Travis Cross. It reads, I declined to give money to someone on the street, and he responded by yelling at me, Donald Trump is gonna get you out of here. So that's not a great sign of how things are going in America. He said, this kind of thing doesn't happen often, but it does happen from time to time. And I think it's worth noting it when it does, because some might be fortunate enough to never see or experience this. This happened in Louisville, Kentucky.
Ooh.
Dang.
There's this uneducated belief that that man, the current president, is going to save the people who voted for him. He's going to restore America to whatever, what, and I don't even have the breath to talk about the idea of like make America whatever, restore back to the good old whatevers, when we know that everything we have pushed past is to get to where we are, and everything about him and his administration is taking that back. People feel wronged. people feel like they're on the losing side and they finally feel like they are winning and they feel that he's going to come in and sweep up everyone who doesn't, who they don't care about. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about you. I truly, the morals that you think you voted, oh, I didn't vote, don't vote for the man, vote for the, you vote for the party or vote for the policy, whatever. You still voted for him. The morals that you think he has, that he votes for, that he stands for, or like runs on, he doesn't actually care about it. He doesn't actually care about it. He knew which party to go for, who would align the most with his thoughts and beliefs and his actions, and that was a very specific party. And get it, you guys, you got your president now. How are you doing? The truth is, how are you actually doing? Because I heard all this about lower gas, lower groceries, all this stuff, eggs. Where are your eggs?
Girl, I spent 59-cent surcharge today because my eggs.
Oh, not a
Right.
surcharge.
The
So
surcharges are happening. Places are printing out papers like, hey, we have to charge you an additional this because of the egg stuff. And I said, Orange Crush. I thought you had my eggs, baby. Now,
And I think too, just to finish off, I think that we already, the people who knew what this was already, you shouldn't be surprised. We knew this was going to happen. They're right now, they're just trying to push all the barriers. They're trying to see what goes through. We're fighting in the courts right now. That's what we're going to have to do. That's where we're at. For you, for you believers in him, whatever, for whatever reason, you believe in him. Whenever you it finally hits you, because it will. You might be in the grocery store picky, trying to pick up medication, trying to in the surgery operating room with someone you love at your kid's school, and something happens and it makes you see it right then and there of who he actually is and the fact that he doesn't care about you. Remember all the people who said this was what was going to happen, and for whatever reason, you sided with him. You sided with someone who absolutely didn't care about you against your common people, us, the community, the people who actually are together, and you stood on the other side. You will see it at some point, and that's fine. It's gonna take a second. It's gonna take a second. But I don't want to hear any boo-hoos. What about my eggs? What about my gas? My kid can't do this. We can't afford this. You already knew that.
baby,
We
you
already
chose
knew that.
this because of this. You chose not to ever own a house unless you live in Wyoming.
It's funny because it's already happening to people now. I just saw a video of this farmer on TikTok, and he's like, oh my gosh, my farm is going under because this act that was just overturned by executive order. And so many people are saying, say who did the executive order, and he will not. He will not. And then they're like, well, say who first gave, who put the act in to give you money. Oh, right, that was the last administration. Now say who just overturned that? This administration. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, wait a minute. This fast. This fast. You didn't think that it would happen to you, but it did. Because one thing these people will never understand is that it's not between me and you. Because there's never a chance. It's between the 1% and everybody else. I'm not fighting with you, my love.
Won't
I don't
actually.
care. I will hit you. I personally don't care. This has nothing to do with me. And that's really what I'm hitting everyone with for the next 4 years. Honey, miss me with it.
When
Daddy,
you go to your conscience, I hope your conscience is strong.
I hope it's strong. I hope you sat there with your Christian values and you prayed. I hope you really held the Bible very close. And I hope that you are close with your God to help you and understand and keep you near when all hell breaks loose. Because over here, my God and me, we like this. We good. We good. I have peace of mind, peace of clarity. That's what I got. Because we all seen it. Only you were blind.
Going over to the blind part of things, this has nothing to do with that. Lauren Anthony covered that beautifully. That was amazing. I love the eulogy. Classical musicians, can you just shut up whenever the Super Bowl comes on about the halftime show and national anthem? Because guess what, babe? They make more than you. And they always will.
Ooh.
Like, I'm sorry, homie sang a little bit of the national anthem or all of it in fo-fo. Baby, I want you to check how many Grammys he got and how many Grammys you got.
Do people really still care about whether it's 4-4-3? Get over it. Do we have other fucking shit to worry about? I'm sorry. Like, literally, like, what are we talking about? Why do you care so much? Can you get off of your high horse and move on, okay?
I'm ready to, in my lecture on Tuesday, music appreciation, we got to watch all this stuff about the Super Bowl. But I'm ready for all the classical musicians to be like, oh, this is not music for the halftime show. So, how many Pulitzers do you have, and how many does he have? So, I loved looking on my feed earlier and seeing all that. And I'm like, y'all, can we just not? Can you just, how about this? Keep your opinions to yourself or say them in your rooms.
The man just won the biggest two Grammys of the Grammys last week. The
He win
man
five
is a
total
Pulitzer.
after.
The man is an artist. He's
Pulitzer Prize.
a storyteller. He's a speaker. Whatever you have to say, just say that A, you don't understand hip hop. B, you're racist. C, shut the fuck up. I'm
Literally.
done. Like, literally, I'm done. I'm done with the fake outcry of trying to validate other genres of music besides the stereotypical folk white man genre. I'm sick of it. We're not in your box. Neither do we want to be. So you can go ahead and say all your think pieces on Facebook for your little limited followers. Honey, people are cashing checks and not giving one damn.
Not
That's
giving.
how I feel about it. So anybody that has something to say, you might as well just save your thumbs and save your breath because it's really not doing anything.
I will say this though, whoever lined up all these guests for the Super Bowl this year, they really, like a lot of us, were banking on a Kamala Harris win.
That's how the Grammys felt too.
Yep. So, but you know what? Again, like Star Wars, our beacons are rising. And we will be led through the next 4 years by shepherds.
Are you? What is this in Star Wars? Like, really?
Right, where is this coming from?
Well, like, where is this coming from?
Gotta cope. You gotta cope.
Anytime I see certain people make very uneducated statuses, posts online about the uneducated, I will say it again, about the Super Bowl, national anthems, or halftime performances. It's never, here's the thing, it's not the matter of you like it or you don't. Oh, I didn't really care for it, but that's fine. It's always something rude, something that is like they make a point to disrespect the artist as a human when they talk about them in those posts. You could also just not say anything. Here's the thing. There have been so many performances I've seen online in person that I'm just kind of like, oh, I didn't really care for that. There's no point of me just saying that to like online. Maybe if I go out with a friend afterwards and we chat, I'm like, oh, I didn't really care for this one, blah, blah, blah. But like, I'm still happy the performance happened. It's art. We're making art. Someone enjoyed it out there, whatever. As long as it's not harming people. That is always my thing. As long as it's not harming people or promoting messages of hate, then fine. But all with Kendrick, anytime these when it's always Kendrick specifically because they never know who he actually is, and that is one of the easiest indicators that someone is just ignorant about the impact Kendrick has had on the arts field in general. He's a Pulitzer. They don't give out Pulitzers. He is smart. He thinks about the things. He has cultural impact. It is so obvious. So whenever we see people, and like John Batiste, I believe, did the national anthem and everything. And you know John Batiste's style, he's a little, you know, like this. He's kind of eclectic. He does his thing, and everything. So, and also you've heard the national anthem in a very traditional way. They chose him knowing what his style was. It's his hometown. Why wouldn't he zhuzh it up? Why wouldn't he make it something special? That is what always, because like, what? Just go listen to it the way you want to. If you want to hear the national anthem exactly the way it is, there are many recordings for you out there. There are
Four.
plenty of recordings.
One, two, three.
Oh, say, can you see? Like,
Oh, stop
I
it.
just don't care. So I don't know. Maybe we should just let them on their side of the internet do their thing. But anytime I don't engage with it, the people who go after them, girl, blessings to you, girl. If you're trying to go back and forth with them, they don't care though. They're not listening. They want you to talk to them so that they can be like, oh, here comes the woke police, and here comes the whatever.
Well, I will say this one thing about the Super Bowl, because I was asked this question about like a couple of months ago, because I didn't know until a couple of months ago Kendrick was doing the Super Bowl. I don't watch pro football. I find it to be extremely boring. I watch college football. I think everybody on here knows. I love college football. I don't care for the pros. I will say, after finding out it was in New Orleans, I was kind of sad that they did not ask my man Lil Wayne to do it.
Lil Wayne
That was my childhood.
has been through a lot, I think, and I think a focus on recovery might be what's best at the moment, and that's okay.
And when he not endorse a dictator that's currently sitting in the presidential seat, that's when I will ever start to think about that man, that very Kermit the Frog man.
First of all, I did not know he endorsed Orange Crush. I now redact my entire statement.
Not Orange Crush.
Know the history, know the books.
Well, Orange Fanta is the best orange, so Orange Crush is like the great value. That's why I call him Orange Crush.
While we're on the topic of artists and supporting that thing that's sitting in the White House right now, Kanye West.
Oh, God.
So often people will try to defend him by saying, oh, but he made this, but think about this. I don't care. I don't care. If you, I don't even want to go tell people to go look at what he's been posting online, but everything that he's been posting online has been so out of touch, so disgusting. And it's obvious that he does not care about rap. He doesn't care about music. He doesn't care about culture, art, anything. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. I don't care what he's written. I don't care who he is, who he signs, his producing, all this. It couldn't matter. It doesn't matter to me because of his values, who he supports, and the disgusting, hate-filled things he has been posting all weekend online. So that is the line I draw. We talk about Kendrick and how, but it's because Kendrick is not doing that. Kendrick is rapping for the culture, for people, and what Kanye is doing is intentionally aligning himself with hate and with people who spew hate and who are responsible for enacting hate. I don't care about Kanye West and his musical talents. This is a moment where I do not separate the art from the artist because of it's living and it's currently harmful. It is currently still harmful to be someone who is supporting that man and what he does because he's actively pushing against progress.
You know, I think I want to take it even a step further than just supporting that man. I just think the things that he says is just completely vile.
Yes.
Besides supporting that thing, like what he has said in the past couple of days, it's
Yeah.
just disgusting. How could you ever look past that? And it's only getting worse because he's doubling down, he's tripling down, he's quadrupling down. He's like, no. And then, it's always like, oh, well, Kanye has been the consistent Kanye for the past 5, 6, 7, 8 years. He's not coming back, y'all.
He never will, actually, y'all.
Like, let's be for real. So you got to do what you got to do with the person that's standing in front of you. And right now, the person that's in front of me that is being presented to me, I want nothing to do with. And you got to be fine with that because I'm fine with it.
This is wild, y'all.
It's awful.
No, this is truly giving.
So, yeah. Anyways,
This
thank you
is
so much for listening to this, and let us know what you think about some of the vile, disgusting things that is also going on. But remember, it's what we said at the beginning. If you cannot handle it, that's okay. Take your time. Take your time. Turn the TV off. Turn the phone off. Sit back. Be a couch potato. Mouth breathe. Whatever you gotta do, let your peace be the most important thing. Your peace is important. And those are my words. Have a great rest of your week. We'll see you next time.